So we will sing some prayers called Mangala Charana, which means auspicious invocations. And those prayers will create an auspicious vibration. Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhandakamsta Namah Vishupadaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Sukhi Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatradeshatarine
Thank you. Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda.
Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada.
Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Guru Deva, Jaya Guru Deva, Guru Deva, Jaya Guru Deva.
Jaya Vishnupad Paramahansa Parijarajakacharya Stotra Satasri Srimad Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jaya Vishnupad Paramahansa Parijarajakacharya Stotra Satasri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Premse Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Navadweep Dham Ki Jai. Chamuna Mai Ki Jai. Ganga Mai Ki Jai. Tulsi Devi Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Samveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Itai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. So I have noticed that you are very enthusiastic chanters, which is a very good sign. Actually, the conclusion of all the Vedic literatures is to know Krishna. And the best way to know Krishna is through chanting his holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And one of the defining features of our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada was his faith in the holy name. I'm not sure how many of you know the history, but Srila Prabhupada was born in Calcutta in 1896, and in 1922 he met his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta instructed him at the very first meeting to spread the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the message of Krishna consciousness, in the English language to the Western world. And at the age of 69, Srila Prabhupada came by boat to America, to New York City, and began the Hare Krishna movement in the West. Before Srila Prabhupada, there are different ashrams or different spiritual orders, brahmachari, which means celibate student, grihastha, which means householder, married life, and vanaprastha, which means retired life, and then sannyas, which means renounced life. So when Srila Prabhupada was in Grihastha Ashram, he was a pharmacist. And he had a godbrother. Godbrother, or guru bhai, means a fellow disciple of the same guru. So he had a guru bhai named Al Bihari Kapoor, whose initiated name was Adi Keshava Das. So Professor Kapoor met Srila Prabhupada when he was in his household life as a pharmacist and asked him, "You know so many different formulas. Do you know the formula for developing love of God?" And Srila Prabhupada said, "Yes, I do." And Professor Kapoor said, "Can you tell it to me?" And Srila Prabhupada said, "Yes. Chanada pisunice na, tarora pisahishnu na, amani na manade na, kirtaniya sadahari." Which means one can chant the holy names in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street, more tolerant than a tree, ready to offer all respects to others, and not expecting any respect for oneself. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy names constantly. So that was Srila Prabhupada's faith. And when he came to America, there was another incident. So I mentioned that Srila Prabhupada had been in the Grihastha Ashram, a householder. And then at a certain stage, he took sannyas. And by that time, his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, had left this world. And so he took sannyas from one of his godbrothers. Because that's the system, that you take sannyas from someone who is a sannyasin. So during the ceremony, the priest was reciting different mantras. They built up a fire. And there was a sort of a break in the ceremony. And Srila Prabhupada had a god brother named Akinchana Krishna Das Babaji, who Srila Prabhupada said was a Paramahansa, which means a liberated soul on the highest platform of devotional service. And he would always chant. He was like Kirtaniya Siddhari, he was always chanting. So during this interlude in Prabhupada Sannyas ceremony, Akinchana Krishna Das Babaji started chanting. And when the interlude was over, the priest indicated to him that he should stop chanting now that they were going to be reciting the mantras. And Srila Prabhupada, who was the candidate to receive sannyas, he indicated him, keep chanting, keep chanting. Like, don't pay attention to those people. And Babaji Maharaj later commented, at that moment, he knew that Srila Prabhupada was going to become the leader of the worldwide Hare Krishna movement. Because Lord Chaitanya, who's Krishna himself in the role of a devotee, had predicted Prithiviteya Teja Tonagar Adigram Sarvatra Prachor Hoive Marna, that in every town and village of every country in the world my name will be preached, or my name will be sung. It was Krishna's name. So Lord Chaitanya made that prediction or expressed that desire some 500 years ago. But even the followers of Lord Chaitanya could not believe that it could actually happen. They thought it may be some metaphor or some, you know, poetic expression. And then in the, you could say, late 1800s, one of the acharyas or spiritual masters in the line, he also predicted that, you know, one day people from all over the world will chant the holy names, and they will come together in Mayapur, which is the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya in India, and they will chant Hare Krishna with their Indian brothers. But that also seemed impossible. But then Srila Prabhupada, at the advanced age of 70 years, arrived in America by steamship, and he began the Hare Krishna movement. But it was a struggle. There's a long history, and it's told in a book called Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, written by Satsarupa Das Goswami, which I highly recommend everyone should read. In fact, I was based in Bombay for many years, and when the Lilamrita came out, many people came to my office to meet me, and they told me that they couldn't really even understand Srila Prabhupada's books that clearly, what to speak of ISKCON. But after reading Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, it all made sense. So So, yeah, Srila Prabhupada came to America and he came to New York City, and he was just staying in different places. He didn't really have any permanent place. And then eventually one devotee named Mukunda Goswami, he arranged a place for Srila Prabhupada to use as a center. It had been a small shop called Matchless Gifts. And so Srila Prabhupada began there. And he went out to Tompkins Square Park and chanted Hare Krishna, and people gathered, and he spoke to them about the Bhagavad Gita. And he said that you could go to any city in the world and go into a public place and chant Hare Krishna. And people will gather around and they'll think, what is this crazy fellow doing? And then when they gather, you tell them the philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita. So, you know, from New York, the first center, Srila Prabhupada opened a few other centers, and one was Boston. And I happened to meet the devotees in Boston, see Srila Prabhupada in Boston, and then I moved into the small storefront in Boston. And we had no income. And Srila Prabhupada had said, if we need to, we can get jobs. So the devotees were all very surrendered and had a meeting, and someone said, oh, I used to work in the post office, I can get back my job in the post office. And someone said, oh, I know the person who owns the grocery store down the street, I could probably get a job there. And then one devotee said that Srila Prabhupada had said that if you just go on Sankirtan, all of your problems will be solved materially and spiritually. Sankirtan means, in this context, it means going out on the street and chanting. So, all right. We thought we'd try it. So the first day we went out and we chanted, and we we would hold a conch shell out like a begging bowl and ask for donations. And we didn't have books then. I can't unfortunately describe all the details. I have to write a book about it. But anyway, so we came back and we counted up, and there was $7, which was pretty good for us back then. So we thought, well, this is good. Let's try it again. So we went out again the next day. We came back, counted it up, and there was $12. I thought, wow, this is really getting good. And then let's try it again. So we went out the third day, we came back and counted it up, and there was $19. So we thought, okay, this is our program now. And so it was, there were just a few of us, but we were everywhere. I mean, people would come up to me in Boston and say, oh, I saw you, you know, we often chant at the Boston Commons or on one of the main streets called Boylston Street. Oh, I saw you at such and such place. Wow, you're everywhere. Well, there must be a lot of you. But there are actually only 12 of us. we were going up. So, I'm going to jump ahead now, but it's on the theme of Srila Prabhupada's faith in the holy name, which was there in the very beginning, like from when he took sannyas and before. So Srila Prabhupada had a friend in Bombay named Mr. Sethi, who was a very staunch devotee. And he had been a member of a group called the Radha Madhav Shuddha Premi Sankirtan Mandala. Radha Madhava, Radha, you know, and Madhava is a name for Krishna. And Shuddha in this context, in this pronunciation, means nectar. And Premi means love. And Sankirtan, chanting, Mandal group or association. So he was a member of that group from before he met Srila Prabhupada, and they had a guru in Vrindavan. And in Bombay, they were mostly householders. Yeah, they were householders. And they would meet every Sunday, and they would have 12 hours Akhanda Sankirtan, that means unbroken, continuous Sankirtan, at one of their homes. So one day Mr. Sethi had the idea that they could do that at our small temple. The big temple in Juhu Beach, Bombay, was under construction, and we just had a small temple that we were using in the meantime. So they came, and the system was they would chant from 6 in the morning to 6 in the evening. And then from 6 to 8 they would sing songs from Vrindavan about Krishna. And at that time, that was Srila Prabhupada's, it was in his last year with us, and he was, even then he was quite ill. So he was upstairs in his quarters in the new building. The elevator wasn't working, but the devotees carried him up, so he was there. And the group and the devotees were chanting in the temple. And they were really, of course, they were chanting in front of the deities, Radharasa Vihari, to please the deities. They really wanted some personal reciprocation from Srila Prabhupada. So at one stage, they came out of the temple and stood under the balcony of Srila Prabhupada's quarters. And as I mentioned, Srila Prabhupada was quite ill. But Tamal Krishna Goswami and Mr. Sethi helped him, you know, to come out onto the balcony. And the Mandal people just went wild. They were in such bliss, and they were chanting and dancing. And then at the end, it was part of the songs after the 12 hours of Hare Krishna Kirtan. So one lady, she would sing this song, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Krishna, Jai Krishna, Krishna, Jai Krishna, Jai Shri Krishna. And while she was singing, Srila Prabhupada had tears streaming down his cheeks. So the next morning, Srila Prabhupada called for me. And he said, you know, that the kirtan was wonderful. And we should invite the whole group to stay on Hare Krishna land. And we will provide for them. All they have to do is just what they did yesterday, just 12 hours kirtan. So I thought, I don't know how practical this will be. They're working people, they have jobs or businesses, they have children who are going to school. I just didn't see how it would work. And I said as much to Srila Prabhupada. So then he said, all right, then our men should do 12-hour kirtan every day. And we had so much service to do. We were trying to get the temple open, and, you know, we had so many activities. So I said to Srila Prabhupada, I don't know how that's going to work. You know, we have to finish the temple, we have to open it, and we have to deal with the government and the contractors. And so then he said, all right, then our men, one day a week on Sunday for 12 hours. So by then I was so relieved, I said yes. Yes, that was easy. And afterwards, Tamal Krishna Goswami said that Srila Prabhupada had done transcendental bargaining with me. That if he had begun with 12 hours a day on Sunday, I might have said, oh, that's too much, maybe 4 hours. But because he started with, you know, 12 hours a day every day, when he finally came to 12 hours a day one day a week on Sunday, it was a relief. So we started that practice, and what Srila Prabhupada had said, if you just do Sankirtan, all your problems will be solved materially and spiritually, came to mind, because that was what was happening. I was a temple president in Juhu, and I had many issues to deal with. But it happened without fail that after the 12-hour kirtan on Sunday, all the problems were solved. Either I would get some insight into how to deal with it, or the devotee who came to me with the problem realized it wasn't a problem after all, or Krishna made some arrangement to solve the problem. So when devotees would come to me on, you know, Monday or Tuesday, you know, I would try to deal with their issues. But by Wednesday, I would start to say, well, just give me a few days to think about it. Come and see me on Monday. And practically without fail, the problem disappeared or was solved, one way or the other. So so this is on the point that just by chanting, all your problems will be solved spiritually or materially, I should say. So this is something that we should do without fail. Now, if you don't mind my being personal, how many of you have chanting beads, japa mala? almost everyone. Yes. And those of you who have them, how many of you chant on them? Okay. So, as you know, we are in the month of Kartik, or the month of Damodar. And in the month of Kartik, all of our spiritual the benefit of our spiritual practices are multiplied. So I would like to take this opportunity to encourage you forcefully to fix a minimum number of rounds that you will chant every day. And the idea is that if by chance you don't chant your minimum on a particular day, you can make it up the next day. But you have to maintain that base level. So, how many of you have a minimum number that you chant every day? Okay. So, how many don't have a minimum number that you chant every day? Okay. Huh?
Oh, they
have to agree. Yeah. You're in good company. Yeah. So, can we, at this auspicious juncture in time, resolve to chant a minimum number? Okay. So you are nodding your head very enthusiastically. So, what will your minimum number be?
You've given me a challenge, so I feel that to match a really low number would not be correct. So I'll say 7, but I can't guarantee that I can do that every day. I'll try. But 7 rounds. I know this may not seem like a lot. This is a lot.
No. 7 is a lot. That's not the problem. The problem is saying you'll try. That's also not a problem, but the implication that you might not be successful, that's the problem.
Not a good way to accept a challenge.
Yeah. So we want you to fix a number that you will do every day without fail, and if by chance you don't, you'll make up whatever you miss the next day. 4. Exactly what I was thinking. 4. Okay, good. Thank you. And yourself?
I'm sure. I was going to go for 10, but 10 seems like a lot.
No, so you can do 10 every day?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You think?
If I put myself to.
You can. Okay, wonderful. So, and do you have a minimum?
16.
16?
I used to. Yeah.
And, yeah. So, but now in this auspicious month of Kartik, in this auspicious assembly, we want to fix a minimum for you, who you are now, where you are now. Are you willing to commit to a number?
Absolutely. Yes.
Can you tell us what the number is? See, it doesn't matter how big or small the number is.
Yeah.
It's like exercise. Like when you do push-ups or lift weights, you know, you do a certain number of repetitions and you build up your strength. Then that becomes easy. Then you do more. So we're not so concerned with where you start, but just that you're regular in it. Because we know that you will increase naturally.
Minimum 16.
Minimum 16. Okay, wonderful. What's your name?
Elena.
Elena?
Yeah.
Are you friends with Chris?
I am.
He mentioned you the other night. Okay. Did he give you the book yet?
He did.
He did. Okay, good. Whew. So who else has beads but doesn't have a minimum? Yes. What is your name?
Noah.
Okay. So what minimum can you take? 5. Okay. Wonderful. Anyone else with beads without a minimum? Yes. What is your name?
Philip.
Yes.
So
how many?
I was going to do three rounds a day.
Okay. Okay. That's good. Anyone else? Yes. What is your name?
Vivian.
Yeah.
I will commit to 4 rounds a day.
Wonderful. Excellent. So does anyone else have beads but no minimum? Okay. Does anyone not have beads? Would you be willing to try chanting on beads? Okay. What is your name?
Paulina.
Nice. Do we have beads here? Okay. And figuring that one round takes not more than 10 minutes, could take less, but figure on the generous side, 10 minutes. How many do you think you could do? Or do you want to try first?
4.
Wonderful. And are you willing to try? Did I ask your name?
Michael,
okay. You're willing to try too. And how many do you think you can do?
Probably 1.
Okay. Okay, that's all right. That's fine. So everyone else has beads, is that correct? And a minimum. Okay. All right, well, I feel we've made a lot of progress here. So, all right, I'll just tell one story. On Wednesday, I spoke about how I met Srila Prabhupada and my early association with him. And I won't repeat what I said then, but I will describe one incident. Srila Prabhupada's program back then in Boston was he would speak at the temple Monday, Wednesday, and Friday evening, and then Sunday would be the Sunday love feast at the temple. And then Tuesday and Thursday, he would speak outside, usually at a university. I met him when he came to my university. And then Saturday at some other venue. I remember he had one program at the Arlington Street Church, which is a very important landmark in Boston. So after a few days of so he came to my university. The next day I went to the temple and I asked him a question, and from his answer I knew that he was my guru, and I surrendered to him. And then every night I would come. And one night soon thereafter, he had a program at Northeastern University. And during that, I guess I'll give a little background. So I was a student at Brandeis University in the psychology department. And the chairman of the department was Abraham Maslow. And he, you know, he wrote many books. He was like the leader of a third force. They came to call a third force in psychology. And until then, there were basically two schools: behaviorism, which was stimulus and response, mainly studying rats, and psychoanalysis, which was mainly studying diseased people. So Maslow thought, you know, instead of studying rats or diseased people, he would study healthy people. So he applied the term self-actualization to them. And one of the common features of self-actualized people was that they would have peak experiences, which were like experiences of oneness and peace and harmony. So coming back to this program at Northeastern University, so Srila Prabhupada gave a lecture, as usual, and then after questions and answers, there was kirtan. And it was arranged in such a way that Srila Prabhupada was on a dais speaking, a little raised. And there was an open area in front of him, and then there were seats where the students and professors were sitting. So we were dancing in a circle in that open area in front of Srila Prabhupada. And as we were chanting, and I was looking around the room, my heart was just filled with love for all the people in the room. It was something I had never experienced before. And then that sense of love expanded. Like I felt like that love was extending beyond the room, you know, into the area outside and beyond, you know, all the way to the Pacific Ocean and beyond. And I was overwhelmed by this experience. So at the end of the kirtan, I went up to Srila Prabhupada. I was very new. I had never gone up to him. I had raised my hand to ask questions after he gave a talk, but I'd never like gone up to him to speak to him. But I was just so overcome. So I went up to him, and I said, Srila Prabhupada, this chanting is wonderful. And he knew, I mean, he must have knew what I was feeling. And he started to chuckle, or like laugh. His chest was heaving. And I knew he wasn't laughing at me. I felt, it was like ecstasy. He was feeling ecstasy that this, you know, this soul had experienced some of that nectar of the holy name. So he was like laughing, not very audibly, but in this ecstatic mood. He just looked at me with so much love and compassion and tears in his eyes. He just said, thank you very much. So that was his general mode. He would give you mercy, and then he would thank you for accepting it. And, you know, even in Srila Prabhupada's separation, because that was a major change, when Srila Prabhupada left. But Satsvarupa Maharaj had asked him that, you know, now you're here, so when we have questions, you know, that are too specific or detailed to get the answers from the books, now when you're here we can ask you, but what about in the future when you're not here? And he replied, the holy name of Krishna is the same as Krishna. Do you realize this fact? And on other occasions he gave a similar answer, that whatever guidance we would need, we could get from the chanting. Of course, it doesn't necessarily mean, it could mean that from the chanting we get an answer, or it could mean that from the chanting we get direction how to get the answer. So, yeah, that was, yeah, Srila Prabhupada's faith in the holy name and our good fortune in meeting Srila Prabhupada and receiving the holy name from him. All right, thank you very much. Do you have any questions or comments? Yes?
The only thing I could really think of is to give a person an account so well of the experience of Prabhupada. And I've often, while reading his purports next to his statue, wondered what kind of personality he had. And sometimes while reading his statue, or while reading his translations while next to his statue, I get kind of an idea. But could you maybe elaborate a little bit on maybe what his personality is like? Was he funny, stern, serious,
still
scary?
He was everything that you said and more. Yeah. Once someone asked Srila Prabhupada about his spiritual master, and Srila Prabhupada said, what can I say? He was a Vaikuntha man. You know what Vaikuntha is? It's the spiritual world. Like, he was a man of the spiritual world. But I think the qualities that come to mind first, now that you ask, his humility, his compassion, his love, his genius. But he was also humorous. He was very humorous. Srila Prabhupada had a disciple he was American, but he served in Juhu with me for some time, named Shankadas. And Shankadas, I don't know how he got the idea, but he told Srila Prabhupada that they're like UFOs, unidentified flying objects, like flying saucers. And he asked Srila Prabhupada, you know, what should I do if I see a UFO coming? And Srila Prabhupada said, run. And someone asked him about, like, the second coming of Christ. At first, he wasn't sure exactly what they were referring to. So one of the disciples said, you know, they're referring to Jesus Christ coming again. And Srila Prabhupada said, oh, Jesus Christ will be coming again. That's very good. We will welcome him. There was everything I've said so far was sort of in my experience, but this next one wasn't in my personal experience, but it does show how brilliant and witty he was. So this was in England at the estate that George Harrison gave us, called Bhaktivedanta Manor. And so this a lady reporter came to interview him, and she was sort of challenging him. Why do you shave your head? And then he said, why do you shave your legs? And she was wearing like a mini skirt. And he said, it's better to have a cool head and hot legs than a hot head and cool legs. I'm not saying it exactly the way he did, but it was something like that. And then he said, you must have a cool brain to understand this Krishna consciousness. Another thought was just on compassion. Of course, the best thing we can do for anyone is to give them Krishna consciousness. But he was even compassionate, also compassionate about people's material conditions. Because I had invited him, I'd arranged a program for him in Madras. I was the first devotee from ISKCON to go there. And at that time, there were bus stops. Everywhere you find bus stops. But there were like a lot of people that couldn't all fit under the shelter. And they were just standing in the hot sun. And Srila Prabhupada was like very moved by their plight. He was very concerned, you know, that they had to stand in the hot sun waiting for the bus. And then, in Mayapur, he said, you know, no one should go hungry within 10 miles of the temple. So, yeah.
Just another little incident. Just, I don't know how much of a picture you can get from these little composites, but.
So we were, so there was a big struggle related to the Juhu land because the owner was trying to cheat Srila Prabhupada and is very influential, and it was very complicated. So we didn't have a proper place initially for Srila Prabhupada to stay on the property. So at one stage he was staying in that home of Mr. Sethi, who was part of that Sankirtan Mandali. And he was building a new home, a new house, near the temple, maybe a mile away from the temple. It wasn't really finished, and he hadn't moved there.
and he let Srila Prabhupada, you know, stay there. And Srila Prabhupada's room was on the second floor. We would say here the second floor. And one morning he was, you know, speaking with some of the, I guess, the senior devotees and maybe some friends, like what to do about the Juhu project and all the complications. And as he was speaking, a man, he was clearly a laborer. I mean, an Indian, you know, he was sinewy, you know, dark. He just had a little white cloth around his waist. And he suddenly turned up at the door to the room. And then he walked in. He walked right up to Srila Prabhupada's desk. Prabhupada would always have a low desk, and he'd sit on a cushion behind it. He walked up to Srila Prabhupada's low desk, and he placed a handful of flowers on the desk, and he bowed, and then he walked out. And Srila Prabhupada was so moved by this, he was actually choked up. He couldn't speak. And then he said, you know, how did he know I was here? How did he think to bring me those flowers? And then he quoted the verse from the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yome Bhakti Prayachati. If one offers him with love and devotion a leaf, a fruit, a flower, or some water, he will accept it. And he said, you know, even Krishna is moved by such a small offering, and he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And what to speak of me, I'm just an insignificant soul. So how much more I will feel overwhelmed by that offering. So yeah, good. Yes, ma'am?
As the Gaudiya Madhava Sampradaya of Vaishnavas from descending from Lord Brahma, how are we to interact with other sampradayas? And like, for instance, like, is there a prophecy about the four coming together into one movement?
Well, there are four bona fide Vaishnava sampradayas, disciplic successions, parampara, and you know, as Vaishnava sampradayas, we all agree on the basic points. But it has been said about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he took the best of each of the four and put them together in his philosophy and his mission. I never heard that they were all going to merge and become one. But yeah, there's we have good relations with all of them. Yes.
Did Sri Prabhupada meet Maslow at any time? Did he meet Maslow?
Oh. Yeah, you mean Madhavacharya?
Who? Maslow.
Oh, Maslow. I don't think so. But they, in a way, they were close, because I was a student at Brandeis, and one of the other professors in the department actually arranged for Srila Prabhupada and the devotees to do a program in the auditorium of the psychology department. And that was the first time I saw Srila Prabhupada. And indirectly it was related to the psychology, or more directly it was related to the psychology department. But yeah, I don't think they met. Yes, Vishal?
You mentioned that chanting solves all problems, material and spiritual. So I remember one time there was a home program, and the host was complaining to you about something. I didn't hear what a complaint was, but I heard the solution. You said, just keep on hearing and chanting. That was the solution you sent to him. That was the solution. So if anybody missed this lecture, I don't know, I didn't hear the whole lecture, you can go to his website, giriraj.com. And the audio will be there shortly.
There was, I just thought of this. Soon after I met Srila Prabhupada at the Boston Temple, he was, it was before I went to India, so that was like within a year and a half of when I first met him. And he was at the airport, ready to depart, and a newspaper reporter asked him, what does this chanting accomplish? And Srila Prabhupada smiled like so broadly, had so much light in his eyes, and he said, chanting accomplishes chanting. The more you chant, the more you chant. This is good. During Srila Prabhupada's time, some devotees, they brought out, they were like postage stamps, but they had pictures of Radha and Krishna on them, and that they said Hare Krishna at the bottom. And we weren't sure about them. And we asked Srila Prabhupada, and he said, yes, we want these two words, Hare Krishna, to be seen everywhere. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama.